Welcome to The Age Stage in this, our 17th episode and our last episode for 2016. I'm Vicky Barber and with me is Brody Guzet. Oh, he's riding in the sleigh. He's riding the sleigh through to the studio.
Whoa, yeah. Whoa.
Oh, and there's reindeer.
Oh,
as well.
Hello, pretty little girl. Would you like to come and sit on an old man's lap?
No.
Oh, well, never mind.
That's the scariest Christmas experience I've had in a while,
oh,
Brody.
Ho, ho.
Don't call me a ho.
No. Uru.
How are you?
You're right.
I am. Are you in the Christmas spirit, obviously?
No.
Or have you been having Christmas spirit?
I'm a big bar humbug.
Are you a Scrooge?
I am.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Really?
I have to be when my little grand person is not here.
Oh.
So we've got a very dull Christmas.
Oh. Do we need to try and sparkle it up for you?
No. Everyone else is doing that.
Oh, okay. You're just going to be the grump in the corner.
Well, with my show this morning, I had a completely Christmas-free show.
Oh, did you?
Yep. I said, I'm not talking about Christmas. There's no carols. There's no music. There's no ads for Christmas. Nothing.
Oh.
Not a word.
Did anything happen?
Yeah, got lots of calls saying, you miserable old bugger.
I'm going to ring you on Christmas Day and just to say ho, ho, ho and hear your best Scrooge.
No, oh boy. Anyway, show.
Show. We have.
This is our Christmas show.
Well, we have our three wise men in, hopefully, today.
All three?
Yes.
What a miracle.
I know, it is. It is. It really is Christmas, people.
Which one's bringing frankincense and which is bringing myrrh?
Well, who's bringing the gold?
Well, that'll be the one I want to talk to. I don't need any myrrh. Mirth,
yes. Mm. And we also have Paula, who's from here at the station.
Yes, she is. But she's got something interesting because she's just in... established her family into
a retirement village.
She's going to talk to us the way that they went about it and what it felt like.
And some
like.
Of the steps they took and everything like that. I think that'd be quite interesting.
I think it will too.
And we'll have mailbag.
And then we will have, indeed, our last mailbag of the year.
Yes.
Good.
Well, let's get our three wise men in.
Indeed.
At the moment, we've actually only got two wise men. We have Stuart Shaw and Tom Camp with us. And neither of them have brought gold.
Peter's here in spirit.
He is here in spirit.
Hi, Brody.
So have you got the frankincense?
No, I did a myrrh.
You did myrrh.
I'm more myrrh.
Oh, it's meant to be very good for you, isn't it, myrrh? Don't they use that in a naturopathic type of way, myrrh?
I'll work with you, Vicky. I'm impressed.
I don't know.
And what about frankincensed?
Frankincensed. I think I'll go for the gold, actually, bro. Frankincensed.
Well, welcome to the show
Let's take Tom's gold. Let's take the offer up.
Yes.
Take his gold?
Yeah, let's take his gold.
Yeah, I reckon that's...
Take his gold.
That's what he's doing. He's trying to acquire more of it as we speak.
That's right.
No, he's...
It's coming to me.
He will be with us shortly, so you don't have to be all depressed out there.
No, Peter will be along.
He'll be along. You'll hear the rattling of the chains as the door opens.
You will too.
The ghost of Christmas present.
Brody.
That is recorded, Brody.
Oh, we loves him to death.
So since we're all in such the festive mood, we were actually going to talk about festivities and activities at retirement villages and aged care and how they get into the spirit, I suppose.
It must be... a double-edged sword for the people of that age, because there are people that are constantly, they're losing people.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be both potentially a seriously unhappy time because of the collective celebration, or it's going to be fun. And I guess you guys play a role in that, steering it that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, look, it is a very astute observation. Christmas can be a happy time or a sad time for anybody.
Yes.
You know, if something traumatic happens to you in your life, at any age, Christmas can remind you of that particular time, and that can be difficult. But from my perspective, I think villages are just a wonderful, wonderful place to be in at Christmas. It's a good time to move in. Everyone's happy. Mm. You know, you really feel the spirit of Christmas just envelop you throughout. There are so many Christmas parties, so many functions, just so much you can do to be involved and feel that overall sense of we are a really good race of people. You know,
but you can't find a place to park. Because all the kiddies are visiting, aren't they?
Yeah, look, it well, yes, one man's happiness is another.
You are a Scrooge, let me tell you. You are a hard man.
Christmas at Brodie's this year, we're lighting him right up.
I think so.
I think, Stuart, I don't know about in your villages, but I just find the age group is actually an interesting age group in the way in which they go about celebrating Christmas.
It's okay.
It is a really reflective time, and there's our residents generally have some fantastic memories. They lived really in another time and space.
Mm-hmm.
It's the technology age, it's not as prevalent as it is now. So the pace of life, particularly at Christmas and family time, was a lot slower. Mm. So it's actually a bit of a wake-up call for young fellas like us, Stuart, watching them actually do Christmas, because they really value the tradition of it,
right?
The time of giving, the reflective mood. You know, often our villages are primarily Christian or Judaic Christian and value system.
Yes.
So the idea of Jesus and the birth of Jesus and all that's very, very relevant to them.
Right.
I think most of our people are still regular at church. We get quite a few still going to the midnight masses and the various celebrations that you have. So it's really a time where you're just looking at everything that's good and great about life and about people, about family, about giving of gifts and connectivity. And I actually learn a lot at the time because, you know, there's a our residents have a lot of memory. And one of the amazing things about our industry is you look at the any life that gets to 80 years of old age is actually a very courageous, amazing life. And if you actually get into it, some of the things they've lived through, whether it's depressions, world wars and all of that.
Yes, of course.
They've got some magnificent stories, particularly some of our European origin ethnics that come and live with us. And so that's what I think helps make the Christmas pretty significant celebratory at the time.
Well, one of the things that just deviate a little bit from the Christmas message is that what I think villages enable people to do is allow a church to have more relevance to the current population, because the church experience is not so much about bums on seats on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
It's about trying to live that value set out.
Yes. Mm.
And I think that's what villages do really well, because you've got people all with a very similar set of values and they can express that on a daily basis. Christmas actually just enhances that overall sense of joy and goodwill towards each other. And I think that's a really strong emphasis to try and show the relevance of particularly organised religion in the modern world.
Mm.
And whether you are a regular church goer or whether you're not, you can still live as you would choose to live a Christian type of lifestyle every day. Mm. And that's often not that easy in the broader society.
Mm. That's good.
Right.
So that's just a little bit of an aside. In coming back to the general Christmas theme, that if you were to look in probably Peter's village, probably our village at Frankston, you know, we would probably have three formal Christmas functions a week.
Yes.
For residents to go and participate
In. So that's all the residents get together. That's not in their individual.
Yeah, no, that would be, you know, hundreds of people together.
Right. You know, lovely.
We do a Christmas barbecue for 250 nearest and dearest. unfortunately, I wasn't there this year.
You were unwell.
He wasn't the nearest or the dearest at the time.
Well, I was actually looking after our residents by not being there, so nothing might have been transmitted to others.
A pre-recorded Christmas
to
speech.
Have 250 people together, having a barbecue on a Tuesday evening, just enjoying each other's company. We have some excellent musicians who will perform. They'll be dancing in the aisles, literally. And people, you know, who are reluctant to then go home, you know, it's a great experience. You know, you've got bus trips going out to venues.
Mm.
This year, one of our bus tours actually went over to Port Arlington, jumped on the ferry over to Port Arlington, had lunch out there, then took the cruise back. Big day's outing for anyone's perspective.
Yes, of course.
Absolutely.
And, you know, our aged care facilities, we invite people to come in and celebrate Christmas with their loved ones living in our aged care. And our attitude is this may be a person's last Christmas. We need to make certain this is the best Christmas ever. And so we really try and deliver on that. So we've got school kids singing, you know, and they're just very moving times. And Tom would do something very similar.
Oh, I was going to say, Stuart, that's exactly what we do. We have Christmas Carol people coming in. The kids are really important.
Yes.
Coming in, school kids, local primary schools and things like that. And all that just builds to the atmosphere of what Christmas is about and how we do life. And I was just going to say, I think that atmosphere, that inclusiveness, that goodwill actually goes a long way to overcoming some of the sadness and the trauma of the year. Because you're right, Brody, there are, you know, particularly when husband and wife lose each other, things like that, that does happen. And just to see everybody pull together, they are the challenges of getting old. Now, you know, that's why they say despise not your youth, you know, you think you're bulletproof, but at the end of the day, most of our residents, that is one of the major challenges of getting old, is how my health is, what I can do, how big or small my world is, and how long I've got left on the planet. So when somebody does go, it's just great to get caught up in the atmospheres that Stuart's talking about, and the reflectiveness and the getting past of the no regrets, focusing on the future and things like that. That's pretty important.
Yes.
And that's our job, and that's... you know, that's the successful retirement villages are the ones that have a great management team that create a great community. And this is just another occasion to do that. Just like Melbourne Cup Day when it's a race day. But this is actually a Christmas. And then we've got Australia Day. And that's another thing. Australia Day is very big with our particular constituents. You know, we often we have a flag ceremony, often some of the local army and or... armed forces come in to do their thing, and we have the horns, and it is all pretty cool.
Yes.
And
horns.
It's only because, that was very crude of me, but you have the morning anthem
last
and things
pose.
Like the last.
Oh,
pose.
Sorry.
Is that Australia Day?
That's Anzac Day, sorry, but we do get a bit of that sort of stuff as well. Gosh, I'm really digging myself in now. But the point that I wanted to make is that those traditions are important, and those are of high value to our residents. Mm-hmm. And like Christmas, we celebrate those occasions all the time.
So I have a question. Oh, sorry, Brody.
No, you go.
We're talking about Christmas and then you're talking Australia Day, et cetera. So we have a very multicultural, society. And so as a retirement village, of course, that's reflective of the broader community and society. So, you know, do villages adopt to the changes within their clientele as well, or are they preparing themselves that there will be a more diverse range of people within the villages as
absolutely
well?
In our village we would have predominantly European origin residents, but we have certainly a number from the Southern Europe as a distinct group. Certainly some Asian people moving in, a number of Germanic. So we do cover a reasonable spread of the North and South Europe background and some Asian background. But the predominance is still WASPs, White Anglo-Saxon Protestants, as the vernacular. But certainly there are other villages who cater specifically for different ethnic groups.
Right.
And my perspective is, you know, you better try and integrate rather than keep people separate, although there is an argument that as you age, you are better to be going to a facility that caters more for your specific background, particularly free onset of dementia.
Oh, okay.
Because you're more likely to return to your native tongue and relive some of those particular episodes throughout your life that have been lifetime experiences. Mm. So there's arguments to and from that. But you know, when you look at just the inclusiveness of villages, whatever religious background or non-religious background you come from, and unlike particularly America, we are less religious in Australia than the Americans. And our people, in terms of verbal expression and formal participation, which America is still going through.
Right.
So, you know, people still feel that they can participate no matter what. And in our instance, where we have our own church, you know, we would have less than a quarter of our village would belong to our church. Some people would go out and retain contact with their former church.
Mm-hmm.
And the other people have no formal relationship with the church, but still subscribe to the overall values as a spouse. And I think that's the important part. It's how you live your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And make certain that life is worthwhile.
Do you have multi-faith services at this time of the year?
We do.
In the same church? Or
we do.
All right.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Yes, so certainly we are a non-denominational church.
Yeah.
But certainly we have Catholic services, Anglican services.
Buddhist?
Buddhist. We have the Brahma Kuraris, who are right next door to us. And
all
we
right.
have a number of their residents living with us now.
Well,
so oh, that's a
new phenomenon over the last few years. So, you know, we do try and be inclusive.
That's lovely.
Yeah. And
we'll need to get ready for my lot because we'll want to have a big hippie Christmas. We'll be saying, flower in the hair. And
one of the interesting things that's happening in America is that they have traditionally looked at villages as associated with a particular religion.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And they've, when I was there last year, that America is changing to a broader view of spiritualism and quite how they're going to meet that particular need. And you have organisations that are moving away from their traditional names. So we're currently, Baptist Homes is a large organisation in the US. They've changed their name, and I forget what it is, to take the word Baptist out or take the word Anglican out, which is a little bit of a sad reflection on not being proud enough to stick with your tradition, but recognising that you might belong to the spiritualist movement, and how are you going to then be incorporated into that broader view of overall spirituality. Interesting discussion that's going on, and Australia has reached that point many years ago in terms of our journey. The Americans are still trying to work out how you make that shift.
Mm.
So they are interesting times.
Yes.
Well, you think about the whole issues about gender.
Yes.
You know, in the States, I think they've had their first same-sex type of villages that are specific for to cater for those particular value systems. We haven't seen that here in Aussie yet.
You surprise me. You do surprise me. I would have thought that the gay community would now be strong enough and large enough, or public enough, should I say, to warrant its own space.
Oh, look, I think our age group is very discreet, you know, because of the times that they grew up in. I think that'll change, and there's some of the challenges that we have as the modern day retirement village gets the more baby boomer type of population coming through.
There are a couple of villages who cater specifically.
Yeah. And so we've got some in Aussie. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, we do. And you know, they're just people.
Look, it's different strokes, different folks, you know. Or different strokes, different strokes, you know. Did I say that right? Mate, I am in party mood. We need to get those drinks out for Christmas.
Not but quite the phrase that I would have used, but I know.
Yeah, that's Brody, yeah. No, look, I actually think we're going to get because of the proliferation of retirement villages and the changing values reflective in retirees coming through now. I actually think we're going to get a bit of everything.
I think you will too.
Which is, again, a reflection
of the wider community.
Correct. Yes. And I actually think, like, my villages are different to Stuart's and Peter's villages purely because the people live where they live.
Yes.
For example, a person that might move into a village at Phillip Island or Bairnsdale or Painesville will be totally different to the way they do life than necessarily the ones that have moved into Peter or Stuart's. Yes. So and that's to do with the broad ethnicity, the backgrounds, their professional experience and so on, and how they do life.
Yes.
And I actually think what we'll see is probably more specific culture, ethnic groups, which we have seen, but we haven't really seen them develop in the way, say, you guys have done at Baxter Pete's doing at Village Green, Village Glen, and what we're doing in Gippsland. But I think we'll get more and more of those, particularly the Chinese. We'll get purpose-built Chinese. We've got aged care now, but we'll move into retirement. Just purely because of the volumes of people here, the amount of kids that live out here, and the amount of parents that are still living in China that can actually get retirement visas and come and live out here with their kids and grandkids. So we're going to actually see that. And also, we are going to have to change as our villages grow out of just being that classic Anglo-Saxon, you know, Protestant.
I think one of the overlays that's going to come out, which is not necessarily spiritual, but it is sort of that the harmonic issue, is about villages that are going to be hyper green. You know, they're going to almost be off grid.
There's another.
And people will gravitate to that, I think, because they can't convert their current dwelling into the way that they think that they should live. And if they can go into a new space that is already spouting that for them, that they know that the heat is coming from the sun and whatever, or from underground water and whatever else it might be, is that the comfort factor that that will give to people of my generation, I think, is exactly what you're talking about villages that will identify a group. They will be big enough for, and people will travel for that. You know, they'll go to northern New South Wales if there was a thing there that, you know, that people could go to.
It will all depend upon the ultimate price.
Yes, of course. Yes.
That, you know, we all enjoy the debate about, yes, I want to be green, but at what price do I not want to be green?
Yes, people don't usually want to feel that they're paying for that.
And that's the drama. And the problem we have is our population's so small and our industry's so small, we can't do some of those things at a price that's going to be affordable. And that's the dichotomy. Yes, we would all love to save the planet, but I need to put food on the table. And, you know, and at this time of year, I need to put the turkey on the table and I need to put the pork.
But it comes back to that lifestyle.
It does.
Issue, and if you are, you know, you're not on the pension, you've got your own part pension as well. Those sorts of things, I think, ultimately become consideration. One of the saddest things I have ever experienced was at an old people's home in America when I was very young. And on Christmas Day, we went round to see this particular lady, and Santa was there, and he gave a present to all the men, and he gave a present to all the women. And they were all the same.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. So the guy opened and he got a tie, and the next guy opened up and he got exactly the same tie. Oh. And they were all going, "Oh, that's lovely. Oh, thank you very much." And the next one, and I thought that was so sad. It was so gutless in terms of the imagination.
There's a loss of their identity.
Me. Agreed.
Mind you, this is a very long time ago.
Yeah,
that you were a child. Yes.
That you're treating your elderly like children. Yes. You know, if they're saying, so,
you know, but so one of the things that we would say to our staff on Christmas Day, if you're working Christmas Day, you're giving up time to be with your family.
Yep.
And we really appreciate that. Have fun. Make it a great day for everybody.
Yes, of course.
Because, you know, it is so important. I used to look after a couple of private hospitals earlier on, and I would always go in on Christmas Day with my kids when they were little. Because if you're stuck in hospital on Christmas Day, if we can bring a Brit of cheer to you, we took our champagne, gave our chocolates, really just to try and say, this is a normal part of life.
Turn off your life support system. You know,
well, we're a private hospital. We kept that going.
But I think that we've evolved so much from those times, Brody.
I think, you know, we have too.
And I think that...
And it's down to you guys, because
absolutely,
it's your imagination... And it's both your architectural and social vision,
absolutely,
that is going to drive this. And if you look at it like this old thing that we saw in America, it's going to destroy people like me.
Oh, definitely.
And instead of bringing that quality of sort of patting old people on the head and treating them as valued citizens, then we can only look forward. But we need people like you. We really desperately need people like you, because
the visionaries of our industry are just looking at all the things that we've been talking about today to provide choice.
Yep.
You know, the retiree of today, the independent living retiree of today, has been exercising choice and in every aspect of their life, particularly in their latter year, working life and so on, after their kids have grown up and moved on. So we are in that wonderful position of trying to match in a practical way, built form, as an architect you talked about, lifestyle and value system villages that meet the requirements of the retiring people of what's coming. And we've created a fantastic foundation for that in the last 25 years. And I think the villages that we have on this peninsula absolutely demonstrate that. But the challenges as we evolve and change to meet those changing values, to actually produce villages and a community life that is reflective of the way people are doing life now.
Yes.
I think that's huge. And that's what's exciting about the industry. And it covers all aspects, as you said, the social, covers the architecture and the financial. And they're all our challenges. And we have a responsibility as an industry to deliver excellent outcomes because our governments can't afford to do it.
Yes, yes.
So there's a room for not-for-profits. We talked about that. Often the not-for-profits are the ones that cater for specific communities or specific ethnicity. But our type of villages, which are really all things being all things to all men, is that a fair call
yes.
as we move that way?
Ring the bell.
Ring the bell.
Ring the bell.
Guess who's arrived.
Ring the bell.
Guess who's arrived. Oh, look, I'm even going to give him my seat, the microphone.
No,
oh, you've got a seat there.
All right, and we've got to say hello, goodbye.
So did you make a sale?
I did.
Oh, you did.
Oh,
a Christmas sale.
Christmas.
A Christmas sale.
I get my bonus.
Oh,
well, I hope it's not that 2 point.
No,
won't talk about that.
There's turkey on the table down at the Village Glen.
There is. and in Langwarrin.
Oh, and in Langwarrin.
Well, you're just in time to wish all your elderly people out there a very Merry Christmas from you and yours.
Thank you, Brady. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes.
We've missed you, but congratulations on your achievement today.
It's the late Peter Nielsen.
It is.
It's the late Peter Nielsen.
And all in all, let's look, it's the Christmas, the end of Christmas show. Mm. I'd like to ask you all a question before I finally kick you out of here. Have you enjoyed it? Because you've contributed collectively enormously to the show. you've created an environment where the conversation is being held. Mm-hmm. We've loved having you. And it doesn't matter whether we re-go over the ground or not from time to time. But have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah. I think it's gone really well, despite the challenges and tribulations of coping with yourself and with Vicky. And
right.
But together we've banded up and we've actually worked our way through. It's been a fantastic 6 months journey.
Well, let's hope that we can keep it going for another 6 months.
Really yes.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to you all.
And to all of our listeners as well.
Yes. Yes, of course.
And our music is?
Our music is He's a Rebel, The Crystals. Welcome back to the H Stage. And we have with us now Paula, who's actually part of the team here at RPPFM. Welcome, Paula.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Do you get on that side of the mic much? That's my first question. No?
No, I don't. No, I never have.
This is your first time.
Pardon?
You must have spoken on the...
No, I never have.
Is this your first time?
It is my first time.
You're a radio virgin.
I am. I'm glad you said that.
Well, congratulations. That's very exciting. Well, we weren't hurt you at all.
No.
And thank you for stepping. Sam was supposed to be here today, but she, sadly, her mother had lost a very close friend, and it was causing her mother a great deal of stress, and she had to go to the funeral today. So, unfortunately, but that's what happens with shows with. Like ours, doesn't it?
It is, absolutely.
Now, I'd like you to just move a bit closer to the moment. That's perfect. You've got a mother and father who've just gone into a village, is that correct?
No, I haven't. Oh. No, they've both passed, actually.
Oh.
But my father, who a year and a half ago passed, and he was in the Freemasons at Coppin Centre up in Melbourne. Yeah, and it was a very difficult time.
What, the village life for him was very difficult?
Yes, look, he was extremely independent, so he was 94 when he passed.
Wow.
And so...
That's an achievement.
Absolutely, and living on his own independently. Then he started to do some strange things like microwave things for 40 minutes instead of four. And So
living on his own became a little bit difficult.
Absolutely.
At what age was that then?
About 90.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
And was your mother alive then?
No, my mother died.
Okay.
Many
so ago. you were responsible for your dad predominantly?
Absolutely. Power of attorney.
And what was that like for you to know that the time had come, you've got a man who you love and respect and you have to have the conversation with? Was that easy?
No, it was extremely difficult because this man was extremely independent, had all his faculties about him, you know, jumping on and off trams and public transport in Melbourne, lived right in the hub of St Kilda. So for him to be told that, you know, the beginning was he had a stroke. I just happened to drop in on him one day and he'd had a stroke.
Oh, goodness.
And so it went, then it progressed from there. So he went to the Alfred and then the...
Now, was that a full stroke or a TIA?
No, it was a TIA, the small one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So then he went, ended up in Caulfield rehab, and they came out one day, they being the medical staff, and said to me, he can't go home.
So they assessed him independently, whether you liked it or not?
They did an assessment, and then we had ACAT,
yeah.
I think they call it. Yeah. So we had that assessment done and that confirmed what they were saying, and I had to tell him he couldn't go home.
Oh,
he couldn't even go back.
How did he feel about that?
Angry, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, angry. But the way that it was handled, I was handed a list of nursing homes and was told you have to find somewhere for him. He can't go home. And he'll be here until he goes home, goes somewhere else. Yeah.
Ouch.
Mm, very difficult.
So how did you go about finding or making the selection that you ultimately did?
Well, when we had the discussion with him, he was a returned serviceman, so he wanted to go into one of the basically returned servicemen's homes,
mm-hmm.
But I couldn't get him in anywhere. I couldn't get him in. So we had a look at some less than appropriate places.
Right.
And it was a complete education for me, I must
especially say. If it was one that was sort of thrust upon you as well. You didn't have the time to take the research. Yes.
No. And that was the greatest eye opener to me that I consider myself to be fairly worldly and educated, and to have this never thinking about, we just thought that he would come and live with one of us.
Right.
He didn't want to do that.
Right.
And
that wasn't an option, obviously.
Wasn't an option, no.
So they wouldn't actually allow him to come into your care?
No.
Wow.
No. So we set about, and the Freemasons at Coppin Centre was the best that I could find for him.
Did you look far afield?
He didn't want to leave.
Right.
The area.
I was about to say, because he was St Kilda based, he would want to stay in that area because it's where he's familiar with.
That's
and
right.
If he wanted to leave the facility, he knew where he was going or jumping on a tram, etc.
That's right. So it would have been, myself and my two sisters live on the peninsula, so it would have been much easier if he'd come down here.
But yes,
he
of course.
He didn't want to. And I thought, well, it's his decision. So we have to. I felt it was my responsibility to make that happen and how he wanted it.
So he moved in. Did this mean that the house was sold and all the other bits
and pieces? He was in a unit, yes.
Right. But he never went back to see that. So he never saw everything being packed up and got rid of and disposed of. And, well, in a sense, I guess that's a bit of a blessing.
Mm. Yeah, look, I think had he gone back, I don't know, it would have been very difficult to get him.
He probably would
to
have
leave
refused.
Again.
Yes.
Yes.
He probably would have refused.
Very, very stubborn.
Yeah, it is. I see where you get it from.
At 94, I think he can be.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So he went from 90 to 94, so you had those 4 years. Now, these were, did he become mentally challenged during that time, or did he start Alzheimer's or whatever it might be?
No, he didn't, but he was very frustrated. And he just wanted to go home. Mm. But he did start to have these times where he would say, you know, your mother hasn't been in to see me.
Yes.
And those, he was, yeah. you know, ruminating.
Yes, because he was. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and I did speak to the doctor about that, and he said it's just a mind that's yeah. getting older, that's aging.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Were you happy with the care that he had?
Yes, I was.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they were very
so it, no matter how sad he may have been or mm. whatever, the care and the attention was there.
Yes, it was. Mm. Yeah. It was just the way, like from the Alfred to Caulfield and then the way it was just thrust upon us.
Yes.
You know, that was a shock. That was a real shock.
How do you think that could have been handled better? Keeping the same circumstances, mm. How do you think it could have been managed?
I think there could have been a discussion, like a roundtable discussion, you know, take the family aside or part of the family
yep.
and say, this is where we're heading and here are some suggestions of what you might need to do. And so, but that wasn't the case. It was very black and white and, right. and quite ruthless, I thought. Yeah.
So it was more the manner in which it was handled.
Yeah, they wanted they obviously wanted him out of the hospital.
They did. They wanted the bed.
Yeah, they need the bed. Mm. Yeah. So I as much as I hate it, I get mm. it. Mm.
But sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Really?
A bit of
that's
decorum
how
would have been nice. Yeah.
How I'm picking it yeah. up as well because, as we said, Paul, you're a very intelligent, worldly woman. You're there and you're understanding that your father is in this situation or predicament, et cetera. So these are the specialists advising you.
Mm.
But to allow you to feel that you've been a part of that decision and been empowered in that decision, I think would have assisted you in that transition
yes,
too.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And you had power of attorney.
Mm.
What was that like in terms of the experience of having to settle all the his matters?
It was medical and financial. Yes. So in the medical, you know, area, when he had the stroke first, that was really confronting. When I was pulled aside at the Alfred and said, "Now, you know," was told, "Now you don't want him to be revived, do you?" And I'm thinking, what is this a yes no answer? You know,
yeah.
I need to really sit down and think about yes, this and course. Talk about it and discuss it and what does it mean if he's not and what does yep. it mean if he is and all that sort of thing.
And you don't have time, do you?
No.
No.
No. So that was quite confronting.
Well, I am still, I'm going to put it out there, if there's anyone out there that's a tattooist or a really good graphic designer, I'm deadly serious.
Mm. Yes.
I want a tattoo and I want it to become an international symbol. Doesn't matter where I am in the world.
Yes.
Mm.
That recognise the do not resuscitate yes. issue.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to say to my family, these are my wishes, which is what we're working yes. on with Sam, or not yes. we're not working on, but that's what Sam is developing.
Yes.
So that you have a full understanding in advance when you're lucid and smart, you know, smart, that you have the conversation with your children. And then when that's in place... if that tattoo was in place, it takes away the responsibility from them, and it's not fair. I mean, to ask you is just so bloody awful.
Mm.
just
it was dreadful.
Yes, it must have been shocking.
A dreadful
at the time.
Time.
But we really do need those sorts of things addressed, don't we?
Yes, definitely, absolutely. You know, and he was a tough man.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a man who'd spent 5 years in New Guinea. You know, he wasn't a You know,
was he doing in New Guinea?
In
the war, all right.
Yeah.
Oh,
so he was a tough man.
Yeah, he was.
You know, he'd come through a lot in his life, and you know, he could make his decisions.
Mm.
You know, he was clear of mind.
Yes.
You know.
Well, that's not the happiest of Christmas notes to really end on, but
no.
it's such a vital part of the story
of the conversation
we've been exploring.
Well, that's what led me to the aged age, actually, you know, to having the discussion, this very discussion
yeah.
with Peter Nielsen when I first met him.
Yeah.
And we talked about this and I said, from my perspective, you know, more information, please.
Mm.
People need
Let
to be
empower
forewarned.
People.
Yeah, empower people. So people, you know, in their 50s and 60s with elderly parents need to start thinking about this sort of thing and what are the options and where to look. It's not, you know, all we seem to hear these days is plan your funeral.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, not anything about, you know, what might be put to you
yes.
in really
tough situations.
Well, as I've said before on the show, my father, he had a stroke, but in his office there was a bag, and the bag said, open this up in the event of my death.
Mm-hmm.
And inside it was a form that said, please do not resuscitate. Well, it's ridiculous, it being, because he has to be dead before he can read it. He was a sandwich short of a picnic in that department. Actually, that's not fair. It was very sad. But the first thing on the top of the pile was a fax to me. And it said, my darling boy, if you're getting this, then you'll know that I've passed on. Please don't come because I won't be there. And that was.
I think that's a beautiful message. You've mentioned that before, and I actually think it's just very generous of him.
Hugely generous.
And very realistic.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. And he was.
And it was his choice. He's like, Brody doesn't need to jump on a plane and do all that.
Well, he had been resuscitated. When I got off the plane and went to see him, he had been resuscitated.
Mm.
And there was a look of absolute fear. In his eyes, that was, he just looked at me as if he was
scared
out of his wits. Mm. And I really should have taken him home. And they would have done. They would have let me say, look, I want him to die at home. Just send him back. And I should have taken him, put him in an ambulance, taken him home, filled him with the best scotch and left him out on the balcony because it was September, October, and he would have just got pneumonia and he would have gone.
They would quietly. Been,
you know, but he didn't. He suffered for another 4 months, but that's another story. Anyway, Paula, my dear, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yes, Paula.
It's not that it's a sad note. It's a challenging note.
Yeah.
And then everyone there that's out there, my suggestion is if you're having a Christmas with your elderly parents this year, look at them and say, if you haven't had the conversation, start to raise it.
Yes, exactly.
Because it's vital that their wishes are met and that you are relieved as far as you possibly can be of any responsibility for those sorts of matters.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter, you know, whether it's selling the house or, you know, I want the dog to go to somebody or put down or whatever it might, you know, all of those sorts of questions.
Mm.
Need to be addressed. Mm. And that's why we've got the show. And the show is predominantly down to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very proud to have you as our tincturial head.
Thank you.
of department for this
Thank
show.
You.
And we've got a bit of music.
We do. We actually have Little Eva, the Locomotion.
Well, she's a little Eva.
She's a little Eva, isn't she?
All in her own, in her own little Eva world.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Well, I never really got that letter. The letter music.
Oh.
From the Beatles. I meant to have done it, but I didn't.
Oh.
So anyway,
that was still a lovely
Welcome
Beatles
to song. The mailbag.
To the mailbag.
Mm.
And the female bag.
Yes. Anyway, we've got a number of questions that have come through.
We do. Thank you to people who have been sending through an email to the manager at rppfm.com.au
yep.
to us.
Who will treat it with absolute confidence.
We're
trying to keep it away from our Facebook page or from the Facebook page.
Yes, but we do say initials or if they're from somewhere so people know that we're going to be talking about something that they've sent through.
Now, the first one, and we're not absolutely sure whether if it's our husband or... it's a bit confusing, in fact, to the message. But she wants to know, I'm not even sure whether I've written this out properly. Is there a way that she and her husband can try before you buy? Now, we actually covered that, didn't we?
We did touch on that. Actually, I think it was Tom that was explaining to us that, yes, there is opportunities be able to...
And it's...
about 3 months, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I know that you can do it for a number of weeks.
Yes.
And it's used for respite often for people. But you can... They have... Most villages seem to have a spare one, two or three cottages where you can, which are predominantly designed for family and things to come.
Yes, to come on holiday.
Special, that sort of stuff. But they are opportune to be able to hire and get a feel. So I guess the answer predominantly would be just talk to any village.
Mm, and see what their
situation
policy
is
yeah. or whatever. Yeah. But also, you know, all of the guys have mentioned how active they are in regards to welcoming new residents, yeah. etc. That I think you'd be pretty blown away by everything that they do to allow you to fit in and join in, etc. as well. So,
particularly if they know you're a prospective.
Yes, I think it's great that they, you know, they're trying to give you an insight into what community or village life is like.
So I think that was certainly that was answered in a previous show. So
ask the question. Open. Ask the question.
Absolutely. C&B, L from Geelong want to know what happens
from Geelong
To their place. If, in other words, if they're staying at a village, I'm assuming, if they leave for the winter and go up north in their van, and that's an interesting question. If you're still going to have to pay your dues.
Oh, yes. I think all your monthly service fees, et cetera, would still be there. But your home itself and everything, I believe, they're looked after. You don't need to worry.
No. I think you're absolutely right. And I think that you can do things like shut off the heating if it's underfloor and all that sort of stuff.
I'm sure, again, that management probably have a little process or procedure for you.
Get rid of the cat.
And also I think some of them allow you to store your van there as well, don't they?
Well, they do.
In the opposite season when you're actually here at home.
So if you are one of those people that do like to go away with your van, make sure that there is a parking. Well, not because there may not be. And the reason it may not be is because there's so many. It
takes up space.
Well, there's going to be more and more and more of them. Of them, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, they...
All the grey nomads.
Yeah. In all seriousness, that becomes an architectural feature about the height of your roller door in your
garage. Of course, if you're going to put the...
You might just have a small car, but camper you might have a little camper that can fit in there. So that becomes a factor for the future.
And who doesn't want to go north in winter?
Well, I don't, actually.
Oh, don't you?
No, I don't. I'm a cold climate person. I hate...
You're like a lizard.
Yes. Thanks for that choice. Now, we've only got a couple of minutes to go.
A couple of moments.
Before
have we got another
I think get question. One more in.
One more.
NK is in dispute over a common fence. This is in her normal environment, in her home, where she lives in, not in a village. And she asks, if she was living in a village, would that be taken care of by the manager of the village?
I would assume so. Yes.
Absolutely, yes.
Yes.
So if there's anything that's to do with infrastructure, the village looks after that, and it's all taken care of in your monthly payment.
Yes. And I don't think you're going to have a dispute as well, really, because you can leave management sort it out.
So they'll just fix it for you, which is one of the great benefits of going to go and live in a village.
Well, that's so low maintenance, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Which
but there is still maintenance to be done.
Oh, yes.
But they do look after it.
Yes, which is good.
I think we'll just have a little bit of music before we go.
A little bit of music?
You've chosen a particular...
I've chosen well, haven't I? It's our last show. It's not a Christmas tune, though, because Mr. Bar Humbug.
Thank you.
But we've got Breaking Up Is Hard to Do by Neil Sedaka.
Well, that's going to be... The end of this show.
For 2016.
Yeah. It is.
Well, I've had an absolute ball on the Age stage. Well, my first foray into radio.
Well, you've been an absolute natural.
Oh, thank you, Brody.
You have, and I very much hope that we continue this. We'll be away for the summer, but we're going to be covering up with some repeats, which will be interesting. We'll be topping and tail those. But to you, my dear, have a fantastic Christmas and thank you so much for everything that you've done for this
show. Thank you, Brody. I'll see you in 2017.
You will.
Bye.